Today's episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by Tracker. We've got smart cars, we've got smartphones, we've got smart homes. Technology is making everything smart, but losing stuff still can make a smart person feel very dumb. In all seriousness, Nicole and I had spent 10 minutes earlier today trying to find her purse, and I decided no more, because with Tracker, losing things is a thing of the past, because Tracker is a coin-sized device that locates misplaced keys, wallet, bags, computers, anything in seconds. Maybe you could put it on your Big Brother house key if it's not in the box during the nomination ceremony so you know where it is. Just pair Tracker to a smartphone, attach it to anything, and you can find the precise location with a tap of a button. It is that easy. So never lose anything again when you start using Tracker. Listeners of Rob as a Podcast can get a special discount, 30% off your entire order. Go to the tracker.com and enter promo code RHAP. The hardest thing you'll ever have to do is find the website. Go to thetracker.com, enter promo code RHAP, get 30% off your entire order. That's thetracker.com, promo code RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who would rather podcast about a show and not lose than play in a show and lose and be hated by America. I'm Rob Sisterino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Big Brother 18 coverage for the first time here this summer 2016, the summer of Big Brother 18 and the summer of siblings and much, much more to come. And here we are live. We have gotten our 12 new house guests. 4 more apparently are on the way. We will be talking about those 12 new names that we know tonight and much, much more here with our panel of live feed experts and tell you about who we think has the best chance to win Big Brother 18. Let's introduce you to our esteemed panel for the first time here in Big Brother 18. From left to right, and also alphabetical order, here first is our good friend who you will be seeing on Wednesday nights this season on Big Brother, the great Alex Kidwell.
Yeah, Wednesdays. That's right. That's me. And I would rather win and be loved. And I don't care what Jeff says. That's an option for me.
You know, the whole would you rather, if you could, would you rather win and be hated or lose and be loved? I mean, is that really is there really a lot of people that are like, boy, I really hate that person who won for what they had to do to win? Andy, maybe? Andy?
Yeah,
Andy. I don't know. Is that the example? For the most part, I feel like the victor gets the spoils.
Yeah. And as I recall, the fan favorite coming out of cast assessment day in Big Brother 16 was Christine Brecht, who, as everyone recalls, went on to win America's Favorite and was beloved throughout time.
All right. Then, of course, also joining us, you'll hear him on Thursdays on Eviction Night, the great Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
Rob, glad to be with you for another season. So excited about this cast. Can't wait to talk about it.
Okay. And then, of course, the man who you'll be hearing with me on Sunday nights this season, Taryn Armstrong, is back as well. Taryn, how are you?
Yeah, Sunday nights, a solo dolo, single as a Pringle, ready to mingle.
Single as a Pringle. That's right. Yeah, Jeff was back. We got our 12 new house guests. We got to see them all in action today. In their interviews with Jeff, of course, this information was supposed to drop on Monday, was pushed back. CBS said it was due to the tragic happenings in Orlando over the weekend. So we can be patient and wait for our Big Brother cast one more day. Here they are. They come out today at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We've had a chance to review all of the videos, see Jeff sit down with them. We have bios, and we are going to be talking about those 12 players who are going to be going into the house here in Big Brother 18. The other shoe that is waiting to drop, I'm not sure if we're going to get any confirmation before the season starts, but 4 other returning players, we presume, are going to be going into the house. There is a possibility of the coaches twist, a la Big Brother 14. Perhaps they will just be going in as regular players. If it's the coaches twist, in Big Brother 14, we did not know who the coaches were, at least as an official announcement, until they premiered on the show. Alex, is that really, is that the road that we are expecting to go on?
Well, you know, at this point, I guess we're just going to wait and see. Suffice it to say that if, you know, if rumors are any indication, I don't think we're looking at coach caliber returnees. So, you know, take that as you will.
Okay. All right. So we'll see. All that stuff is out there in the rumor mill. If you don't have to dig too deep to find it, we'll wait till we get an official confirmation on it to really start to go through it. And who knows, maybe we might get that in the next couple days here before we get to Big Brother 18. First off, we will be then live next Wednesday night for the premiere of Big Brother 18, 1 week from tomorrow. So that is going to be coming up on June 22nd, a 2-hour premiere. Taryn, anything strike you? A 2-hour premiere?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they've done for Battle of the Block in the past. So.
But a 2-hour premiere followed by a 1-hour episode on Thursday, Brent, that seems like a lot of Big Brother in the first two nights.
That does seem like a lot of Big Brother in two nights. I don't know. Let's just wrap our heads around it. Big Brother is going to bring back Battle of the Block. I don't see any way that it's not happening because of this fact. They have a couple of people in the house that are clearly their pets, their favorites. They want to see them go far. I think I would like to see many of them go far. And Battle of the Block is just another mechanism that those better players can use to protect themselves in the house. Makes for a less boring or less strategized season, but maybe a little bit more of a boring season.
Okay, look, we're going to have to live with it. Let's not have a conniption like when they announced Battle of the Block the first night. It's just like a necessary evil. Last season, they did it for less time than they did it in Big Brother 16. Who knows? Maybe this season, they'll even do it for less time, if not the same, as BB 17. So we'll wrap our heads around all that as it comes up. The way that we are going to be presenting this for you tonight, I've asked our panel of live feed experts. These guys know Big Brother like nobody's business. They are podcasting constantly with Jordan Parhar, ranking all sorts of things on reality TV. Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar, talking about the best this, the worst this, the best that. So they know all these seasons. They have seen every Big Brother player and can tell you at length about all of them. They have ranked these 12 new players. We're going to be talking through them, and we're going to be giving you their power rankings of these people, and we'll get the top. The person who thought that they were going to be the best, the person that is going to make an argument against them, who thinks they're going to do the worst, will give you the overall factor as we go through them. These will be presented. We'll talk about the two siblings, and then we'll be going through them in the order, I believe it's alphabetical order by last name, up on CBS.com. All right. So then let's get the ball rolling here tonight, of course. That we have our Big Brother live feeds are available. If you want to watch any of the interviews that we're talking about or the Big Brother live feeds once they start, you can do that anytime. Go to robinsonwebsite.com/live feeds for our link and get the Big Brother live feeds and everything that's been going on in all their preseason coverage. robinsonwebsite.com/live feeds or click the banner in the sidebar of robinsonwebsite.com. Taryn, anything you want to set up before we get into talking about these 12 new players and siblings?
Nothing in particular. I mean, something that was interesting about this release was that normally we have a bunch of other interviews that we are able to watch or listen to or read from these house guests. But this season, either there's not going to be any of those interviews or they're going to come much later. We're just working off of what CBS has given us, which is usually pretty limited. You usually get a lot more information from the other interviews, so I think that'll be interesting to look at moving forward.
Alex, any speculation as to why that is? I mean, typically we've seen Rachel Riley is in there with Ryan Carrillo and Big Brother Network, I feel like Matt Carter, is he in there? So I feel like that we get usually a couple different interviews. This year we are just getting the Big Jeff spots.
Yeah, well, I think maybe it just speaks to the fact that, you know, the whole cast isn't available yet. So, you know, this is being done kind of differently than the most recent seasons. And yeah, I don't know. They're keeping it pretty close to the vest this year, I guess.
Okay. So we'll see. Brent, do you feel like that they had those scheduled and then that was tied into pushing it back a day, the cast release?
I don't know that we can really read anything into this. You know, Big Brother's going to do what Big Brother's going to do. I would just like to take a second, if I may, Rob, and give some props to CBS and the casting people on this season, because I don't know if you guys have looked at the cast as a whole, but it sort of looks like America, which is a really great thing to see. You know, we had something really tragic happen down in Orlando where a gunman attacks a gay club on Latin night. And in a world where a lot of people are talking about the way America used to be, I think it is effing awesome that the producers of CBS and Big Brother have put people of color, many, many people of color, into the house. They did not whitewash this season. It actually looks like the real America that I know. So props for that.
Okay, so good job. We're going to be talking through the 12 people that we have starting right now. And well said, Brent. Okay, let's get into...
A little more attractive than the America I know.
True. Yeah. What do you want? What do you
want?
And
quite young as well.
It's not people of Walmart. That's right. Okay. Let's go. Let's start off and let's begin with our first sibling that comes into the house. This is Tiffany Russo. Is she also the same last name?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Tiffany Russo, sister of Big Brother 17's standout, Vanessa Russo. And now here she is. First off, let's talk about this also. Cody Cagliafore is also going to be, his brother is going to be in the house, Pauly, this season. So two sort of random siblings in there. Certainly Big Brother has a history of dipping into the sibling pool, whether it's identical twins or Willie Hance or also Alyssa Riley. So Big Brother has definitely tapped this well before. But interesting to see two random siblings here. Alex, do you make anything of this? Does this have anything to do with the theme?
Well, the first thing I think needs to be pointed out is that one needs to be very, very careful when Googling this house guest, because there happens to be a porn star with the exact same name.
Oh, I thought...
This player is not safe for work, Rob.
Okay, wow. Okay, well, that's... I will have to go through all of my browsers later on tonight and make sure that I am accidentally not doing that. All right.
Yes.
So then you also have to be very careful when you are looking up, doing a Twitter search also for any of the Russo sisters. That can also, you can also accidentally go the wrong way with that. All right. So, Alex... Tiffany, so are you pumped up to see a Vanessa sibling?
Yeah, well, it's not necessarily that. It's that, you know, Tiffany is as Vanessa as Alyssa was Rachel. You know what I mean? Like, she is the spitting image of her sister. Like, it is very, very clear. The mannerisms, the way she talks, you know, the appearance in many ways. And she really seems like she's going to be a great player, too. So, you know, in that sense, I'm very excited. And I don't know how much people know, but she played Audrey's, you know, game sequester the second season and actually managed to win.
Okay, well, hold on. I think you're too inside baseball here. You're losing some people right now.
All
okay.
Right, all right.
People are like, what? Audrey's what? Okay. So let's set this all up. P.S. The live feed correspondents are very high on Vanessa's sister, that they have her ranked as their number one player from the 12 names announced, and that number one on Taryn and Alex's list and number two on Brent's list. So the live feed correspondents are bullish on Tiffany. So set this up, Alex. What did she recently participate in?
Right. So Audrey has started a YouTube series that is like this this game. That's kind of played via webcam. That is, you know, a Big Brother-esque game called Sequester. She's now run two seasons of it. And Tiffany was the winner of season two. And, you know, I didn't really watch it, but I have, you know, like, heard from people that did that she was very impressive in her victory. That, like, among other things, like...
Do you have empirical evidence of this?
I have, like, third-hand empirical evidence, which makes it completely unempirical. But, yeah, I mean, like, the fact that, like, I don't know how much you can really mist people in a game over webcam, but it sounds like there was one person who really, really wanted Tiffany out of the game. Like, the one person that was like, we have to get rid of Vanessa's sister. And there was some scenario where they, like, were running late and they were going to kick him out of the game, and the other people were like, no, let's wait for him. And Tiffany managed to convince everyone to... like, go by the letter of the law and, like, boot him from the game for being late. And that, like, propelled her to victory. So if she's got that kind of persuasive skill, I'm with it.
Okay, now, Brent, you were the only person on the panel to not have her at number one overall of these 12 names that were announced. What made you not put her number one? Was it because you liked somebody else so much, or was you saw a crack in the armor here?
I did like somebody else a little bit more than her, but the one piece of worry that I have for Tiffany, and I did love everything she said in her interview. In fact, I thought at first she would be able to get away with, you know, not revealing that she's Vanessa's sister. And then I listened to her and I'm like, oh my God, it's Vanessa.
Same
you know,
voice.
Like there's no way in the world she can ever hide this. If she tries to hide it, wow, it's going to be trouble for her. And she seems to realize that, I think. I worry that Vanessa was such an imposing figure from last season on Big Brother 17 that if there is a bro-ish, bomb squad-ish alliance in the house around Paulie, who is another person who's coming to the house this season, Cody's brother, Paulie, I think she could be gone quickly. So I do worry that that reputation of Vanessa's being an absolutely masterful player will follow her around, because a lot of these people have only seen a couple seasons of Big Brother, meaning the last few seasons, and I think they might fear her.
Yeah. And I would say that I know you guys are all very high on her. I actually am not super high on Tiffany. I actually thought that it was very off-putting in her interview with Jeff that Jeff was very clearly trying to talk about how she was Vanessa's sister. And she was like trying to dodge Jeff's questions. I think it's the first time ever in the history of these interviews that anybody's ever tried to dodge a question from Big Jeff. He's not exactly hammering these people. And he's like, all right, so you do have a connection with anybody? She's like, oh, like you mean like what seasons did I see? Like, you mean if I know anybody from the cast? Like, yeah, like who are some people that you know? It's like, oh, well, I know a bunch of people from last season. Like, Jeff's like, just tell me that you're her sister, okay?
So it was exactly what Vanessa would do.
She's already in game mode, dude. She would be backdooring
exactly,
Jeff if this was Big Brother.
It was exactly what Vanessa would do. Mm-hmm. And so there's a couple of things. So I feel like I worry that she's just like, it's too schemey. I worry about that with her. I have no doubt that she is going to be, you know, maybe the smartest person in the house. But I wonder, especially if this is not an overly strategic season and based on some of the people that we're looking at, perhaps not. I'm concerned about that. And then also, don't forget, we have four looming, potentially returning players. And how do returning players tend to deal with the overly scheming first-time players? I feel like that they could put a big bullseye on Tiffany's back. And I wouldn't be surprised if Tiffany has looked at somebody who has to be dealt with early on from any potential returning players. All right. Taryn, I know you are a big Vanessa fan. You have her at number one. Why is Tiffany going to be able to overcome those obstacles?
I mean, it's mostly by default. The fact that she's Vanessa's sister means that she will very likely have a very tight grasp on strategy in the same way that Vanessa did. I do think that her connection to Vanessa will deeply hurt her. I think having returning players might help her in the sense that it might take the target off of her back. However, depending on who those returning players are, they may or may not have beef with Vanessa, and that could deeply hurt her again. So I think the situation she's going into could be very, very harmful, but I think that she's by far the most likely to be capable of dealing with that kind of adversity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alex, you feel that she can pull this off? You feel like that 3 months from now, we're talking about Tiffany heading into the final three with a chance to rewrite history for the Russo family?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's a classic bell curve, like we talk about, like Nicole doesn't believe in, right? That, like, either she's out early or she's, you know, pencil her in as, like, a strong contender for the end game. Because, you know, the real obstacle that she's got to overcome, right, is the initial, like, people walk in the door, oh my God, it's Vanessa. You know what I mean? If she can get over that in the first couple weeks, then look out.
And then Tiffany be like, oh my God, I can't believe that you guys would think I'm not the same as my sister. And then they hopefully look that Vanessa was a great player to watch. It was a lot of fun to podcast about. I hope that Tiffany has a long run in this game, but I just feel it's so obvious on paper that she is going to be the mastermind of the season that you have to feel like that the pendulum swings the opposite way and she gets targeted early.
I will say that she came off a lot softer to me than Vanessa. I mean, I know maybe you didn't see it, but she seems a little bit more of a girly girl, seems to be able to be a little bit more calmer and chill a little bit. I don't think that she's going to rub people the wrong way like Vanessa did. And I know Vanessa got away with that last season and came within one competition of a win. What I'm saying is, if people are fearing that, I think that they will look at Tiffany and go, yeah, you're probably the sweeter sister, you know? And I think that she may be able to skate around that Vanessa comparison.
Should she put on the ski hat at any point?
Avoid all beanies.
Like a little bit too. Like I do take a little bit of beef with Taryn saying, you know, well, it's mostly by default. I mean, I think there are some very good people in this cast, and I don't necessarily agree that, oh, she's by default, she's number one.
I'm saying by default, just because she has a connection, like she has an experience that most of these people don't have.
All right.
Like not only is she a fan of the show, but she has a connection to somebody who was very good at the show. Something I thought that was interesting is that her occupation was listed as a high school teacher, which is like the most common lied about profession. Like everybody says they're a high school teacher when they're not. So like nobody's going to buy that she's a high school teacher, right?
What does she really do? Is she in the poker world, Alex?
Not as far as I know.
She's just a high school teacher.
And a winner of Sequester.
She does some sort of program to help people like improve their SAT scores or something. But yeah, it was listed as high school teacher.
In her bio, they asked her, what past Big Brother cast member are you the most like? I really like Janelle. Like, come on, stop it. You don't have to, like, that she's so scheming already. Like, she can't just say, like, well, you know, I'm a lot like my sibling who played last season. That I look exactly like and sound exactly like.
No, yeah, I love it. Yeah, Paulie was like Cody for obvious reasons, and Tiffany's like Janelle. No, I prefer that. Yeah. That's awesome. I like it.
But, all right, anything else on Tiffany?
No.
Okay. If I was going to quibble with the sibling that Big Brother brought back this season, it's not going to be with Tiffany Rousseau. Let's meet the brother of Cody, Paulie Cagliafore. And here he is. He is back, and he was ranked pretty high overall by our team of live feed correspondents. They have him at number two overall behind Tiffany. And again, Alex and Taryn matching number two rankings for Paulie. Brent has him at number three. So here he is. You know, as much as we always for years have been saying, boy, we're dying to get Cody to come back and play Big Brother again. Instead, we get Cody's sibling to come back here and play and right the wrong of Big Brother 16. That Cody could have taken the whole thing, Taryn.
He absolutely could have. It's like the thing. OK, here's the thing. I don't think I've ever seen somebody named Paulie that wasn't like alive in the 50s. Like, is that a thing?
What about DJ Paulie D?
I don't know.
Paulie Shore?
Paulie Shore,
but like, I know the name Paulie Shore. I don't even know who that is, though.
Well, first of all, I didn't realize he went by Paulie. I thought he was Paul Califiore. Let's all say it together.
Sorry, I apologize.
Yeah,
I apologize.
Well, not you. Everybody's been doing it. It's Califiore. Anyway, and we're going to know that because of the tattoo on his side, Califiore Brothers. I really liked this guy, and I really kind of didn't want to like him. I mean, he's fun to look at, but I thought he was a lot more introspective than Cody was. I really liked
what
he had.
Come on, Brent. Cody is hotter.
No, Cody's not hotter. Cody's the boy. This is the man. Seriously, he's a tall drink of water. Seriously. I liked him. Come on, Rob. For real. He was, I thought it was really interesting because Jeff asked him a question about the game, and it seemed like Paulie wanted to criticize his brother. Like, he was talking about, you know, well, this is what I would have done differently, but he was too nice to say it. Like, he was too nice of a brother, too nice of a guy, where he wouldn't criticize Cody's decision, but you could see that he really wanted to.
Brent, Jeff asked him about what would you do differently, because he basically didn't want to say, like, that he would be happy with second place. The question was, so would you settle for second place? And he doesn't want to, like, slam his brother who came in second place, but his problem with Cody's strategy was he would have had more deserving people in the final three, not Victoria. He wasn't saying like, you know, I got to be honest. If I'm there, I'm going to take Victoria to the final two and win. He's like, you know, you shouldn't have somebody like Victoria in the final three. You need to have more deserving people in there.
No, I think he wanted to say I would have taken Victoria to the end and won. I think that's what he wanted to say. You could see it in his face, but he's so nice of a guy. He didn't want to say it. He doesn't want to look bad to America right away. way. I'm telling you, I don't believe that's BS.
Taryn, what'd you get from that?
We have seen interviews with Cody where Cody has talked about my real mistake was not talking to the jury members on their way out of the house. My real mistake was not being better at Derek at jury management. I don't know how much of that he passed on to Polly, but I think that Polly really does buy into the fact that, like, because he gave the same reason that Cody gave for not choosing Victoria, which was, I don't want to be put in a position where I have to take this person that the jury might think that I'm a terrible person because I took them and they'd get the backlash vote. I think he genuinely wants to go to the end with strong people and just have been better at managing the jury.
Alex, is that how you see it too?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, Polly's interesting. I mean, yeah, I have him at number two. But again, like Taryn kind of pointed out, like, you know, these people just have a little bit of a leg up. Like, they've been able to ask people who have actually been at the house questions, like, for the last, you know, however long, that other people haven't had that opportunity. I will say that it's a good thing that they laid the groundwork in the last couple of years by showing Paulie in some, like, background shots. Because otherwise, I would be really, really convinced that they're trying to pull a fast one here. And that they just gave Cody, like, a 1980s villain dye job and tried to throw a sneak in past us here.
Yeah.
Because, man...
I'm sorry, I wanted to tell you, you know, another reason why I have him ranked high on my list, and I don't know if anybody else caught this, they could not have provided a softer landing pad for this guy. There are not one, not two, but three different people in the house who have all brought up or noted their favorite player from Big Brother 16, Cody Calafiore. So
what?
When they see this guy, yes, when they see this guy, they're going to want to work with him. They're not going to want to target him.
Hey, look, with all due respect to Cody, I mean, I'm just that I don't want it to seem like I'm hating on Cody. Like, I'm just completely indifferent to Cody. Like, I just feel like whatever, you know, that he was fine. He wasn't bad. He was probably more towards good than I'm giving him credit for. But he wasn't great. He wasn't a disaster.
I don't know why
is his brother here?
He's part of the Hitmen. They love
there
the
is
hitman.
No
they
hitman. It's Derek. Derek is the hitman.
I was going to say,
they want to create Big Brother 16.
It could have been Derek and my 2-year-old. They go to the end.
I loved how he described Cody as part of the Hitman Alliance, and I was thinking, yeah, like, he's part of the alliance in the way, like, the bone is part of my T-bone
look,
steak.
Look, in the Hitman, Derek is Beyonce, and we're not going to worry about Kelly Rowland and the rest of Destiny's Child.
Yes, I like that analogy.
Let's not understate Cody's ability in the game, though. Cody put a lot of work in to
Here
benefit. It wasn't to benefit himself, but it was to benefit the hitmen. He had a lot of good instincts, and he did a lot of work in that house. And it's true, but people don't recognize it. So I think that Polly's in a great spot because people do see him the way that you guys are seeing him. In the like, he was totally ineffectual.
You know what I liked,
really
Cody? I liked Cody
dangerous.
When he was fighting with Beast Mode Cowboy over Amber. That was when my Cody stock was the highest.
Rob, I will
when
say
he
that,
was going to
you know,
put Beast Mode Cowboy on the block when he was HOH.
As much as we are complaining about the similarities between Polly and Cody, Polly is not Cody. He is a harder version of Cody.
Whoa.
Whereas Cody seems like a nice Midwestern boy, Polly has a thick Italian-American accent. He seems like a hustler from the streets who's going to take your money and laugh about it. Seriously, I really like this guy. I really do. I think he has some fans of his brother in the game for whatever reason. I can't explain that. These are people they found who said, I like Cody Calafiore. And I think he's got a soft landing pad. He's going to really have to try hard to screw this up.
I agree. I think he'll do very well. I think he'll be around for a while. I don't get the casting choice. Out of all the people in the world, like, hey, what's Cody's brother doing this summer?
Well, not only do people like Cody, they like Derek. And they're like, we have somebody that wants to be a female Derek. Who's the best person to take along with you if you're the female
so.
Derek?
Well,
I guess so. Does Derek have
Cody.
Any relatives? Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm excited for when Polly inevitably takes Tiffany to the final two and loses, Rob.
Yeah, that'll be great. That'll be great. All right. So anything else that you guys want to say about Polly?
I don't know. He just seems a lot more fun than Cody. Cody was a little bland. I get it. I understand your indifference to him, Rob. I get it. But Polly... He seems like a really fun guy who I like to hang out with.
Cody seemed like a good guy. Like, I don't have anything against him.
He seems like a fun guy. He seems like good TV.
Yeah. I just feel like that we have so many interesting people in the world of Big Brother, and it's not like, boy, you know, Cody maybe might have been a little bit of a snoozer, but boy, his brother seems like he's going to be way more interesting. I guess that's what you're saying, Brent, but I just don't see it yet.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Let's keep moving along here, and let's get into our first of players that have no blood relatives who have played a Big Brother. And let's start off with not Paul Lee, but here is Paul, who was ranked by our team of the live feed correspondents in about the middle, tied for fifth place overall. And let's start with Alex. You were the highest on Paul. You had him at number three in your power rankings.
Wow.
Make the case for Paul tonight.
Yeah, I guess I have to now, don't I? Yeah, well, my first thought was like, boy, Anil from Big Brother Canada really changed his image when I saw this guy. but I don't know, man. You know, certainly, you know, it's hard to argue that he wouldn't at least have Adam Pock upside in this kind of season.
You know, I'm sorry that I know we're live here on YouTube and I've got the pictures behind me, but let me just paint the picture for people who are listening to the podcast. So Paul is a 23-year-old clothing designer from Tarzana, California, the home of my last apartment, that he is a man with that he's got sort of like the I don't know if you'd call it a faux hawk, but sort of like his hair is pointed up and he has a big burly beard and a nose ring. He appears to be wearing a leather jacket in his picture.
And in his interview, he had like all of his fingers were covered in giant rings.
All right. Sorry, Alex, I interrupted you. Go back to making the case for Paul.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Austin did fine, and he's a quirky guy. No, I think, I mean, I don't know. I think in terms of, like, winner upside, you know, I think a lot of these players may fall victim to, like, going along with returning players or, like, some contingent of returning players and family members. And I think Paul seems like the kind of guy who's capable of, like, playing along with that until it's time to flip on that. You know what I mean? So Paul strikes me as the kind of guy who, you know, like he's clearly willing to do what it takes to win. I like that he said if he had to shave the beard, he would immediately. Like, screw you, Jared from Big Brother Canada. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that.
He just strikes me as a guy that is going to be adaptable and is going to kind of go with the flow. And I think that's always, you know, good for the Big Brother house. I don't know if I necessarily love him, but I like him fine.
On the flip side of things, Brent, you were the lowest on Paul. You had him at third from the bottom. Why is Paul going to flame out?
I really was not impressed by this guy. He seems really uncomfortable talking to Big Jeff. He seemed like, I don't even know why he's there, to be honest. He wasn't really a fan of Big Brother. He didn't really seem to have much of a plan. He said he was sneaky, but and his bio at least is filled out. I'm sort of wondering just like, Why are you on the show? Like, seriously, I really don't see a lot to it. I'm sorry. I wasn't really impressed by him. Maybe the reason I ranked him last is because at least I had, you know, good and bad opinions about other people. When it came to Paul, it was just a big vat of nothing. I was just like, I guess he's okay, but I wasn't really that impressed.
I mean, I think he's on this show to serve a purpose. I mean, I feel like that Big Brother wants to give us that villain who is going to carry the show through the 4th of July. I mean, he's from Tarzana, so he's somebody that was locally spotted, brought on the show. That he has Devin upside in terms of that, you know, getting stuff together in the house.
The high bar.
You know, like, he'll be on the block here in the, you know, in the first couple of weeks and we'll create some good live feeds for you guys.
All right. So he's cannon fodder. All right. I get it then. Yeah. But other than that, I don't see a lot of winner upside. Number three on Alex's list. Honey, give me a break. What is that?
Alex, like, loves the beard, guys.
Wow. I mean, and not only that, was he sitting awkwardly or what? He looked like 4 feet tall compared
That's
to Big
what
Jeff.
I said. It looked like he was so short. Is he just really short?
I don't know.
He's unassuming. People won't see him coming.
Well, if he's height challenged, I'm not throwing shade at him, but like Big Jeff is not a big guy, and this guy looked like half as big as Big Jeff.
How could he not be a big guy if he's Big Jeff?
I do want to say that he did say that he was a big fan of the show. He didn't really elaborate, but he did say.
Would
that
you
he was
say
a fan
that
of the
you're
show.
A big fan of the show, or would you say that you are a height challenged fan of the show?
Sorry. All right. So there's Paul Abrahamian. I don't know if we need to spend too much time on Paul. Look for some breaking news starring him at some point in the next 3 weeks on the show. And an exit interview coming soon. Anybody want to say he's making it to the jury?
Hell no.
I have to now. Yeah,
yeah,
I will.
Have to. Alex is in. This is Alex's
My point. Flag has been planted on this guy, for better or worse.
I'm in the middle. I have mixed feelings, so I think it could go either way. I think we'll know as soon as the game starts.
Tara, can you paint the rosy picture for Paul?
Well, see, when I saw him in the interview, he seemed very relaxed, and he seemed much more personable than I expected, given his bio, which kind of seemed like he really wanted to paint himself as a thrill seeker, and like, nobody gets under my skin, and I get under other people's skins. But in the actual interview, he messed up a question, and he kind of just like, it didn't bother him. It, you know, he took it in stride. He had an interesting conversation with Jeff, which was more than I could say for a lot of people, because a lot of people had a lot of trouble talking with Jeff. So I think that he has a chance to be like a personable guy, but this character type, he stands out so much. That's never a good thing.
Okay. All right, let's keep going, and let's talk about not Jon Snow. Here is Victor, and Victor joins us, and he is going to be, he's a, what is his nationality, Brent?
I believe he's from Puerto Rico. I know there are two guys from Puerto Rico. I'm thinking he's the other one, yeah.
Okay, he is a gym manager from Slidell, L.A. Slidell, Louisiana. I'm like, I don't know what part of L.A. that is.
He owns a gym in New Orleans.
Yes, in New Orleans. And now here he is. He has a long hair that's slicked back. He has a beard. Is in there maybe looking for a showmance. And so... you guys were not particularly high on the Victor. You have him at next to last in your cumulative rankings for Victor. Of all of you, Brent, you were the highest on Victor.
Yeah, I was. I may be rethinking that. But, I mean, like, seriously, the thing that I liked about him the most... I'm not going to backtrack now. This is what I said. I ranked him number 7 on my list. But I wasn't really impressed by the people who are below him. And he said he's a fan of Cody. I can see him working with Paulie. They both seem like they're from the same side of the street, if you know what I mean. They're both hustlers. And I mean that in the best possible way. Like, you know, they want to get some. They want to get some money. They want to get some girls. They want to get a life, seriously. He seemed to me energetic enough that he would be liked by the guys, and the girls would want to be with him. And there's a lot of girls in the house that are single. So and he seems ready to have a girlfriend or two or three. Like, yeah, he said, when he has a girlfriend, he's already looking at the next girlfriend. So
they asked Victor, what's your life motto? And he told us on CBS.com, really a 3-point plan. Get my money, develop my body, and get women.
There it is.
I think the first two are in order to get the third.
Yes. Okay. Get my money, then do first.
I like
you
how
get
women
the
is
money.
Plural. Women is then a, you get, develop get my your woman. Body. It's yeah. Get my women.
He also described himself in the interview as a 3-package thing. Oh, you mean a triple threat? Right.
Well, a 3-package thing. That's much different. Okay. Then in terms of Victor, like, do you just get the sense that, like, you know, Robin Cass had some people left over from Coupled?
Yes.
There's some people like, they weren't quite right for Coupled, or the, you know, NBC said no. Like, all right, let's put a post-it on this guy.
Yeah. If we were power ranking Young and the Restless, I'm going right for Victor with the bullet.
I think it's spot on. I mean, he talked about, like, he wasn't sure if money was worth backstabbing people, and he would rather be loved and lose the game. So I feel like he's not really here to play Big Brother. He's here for the love.
He's right here for the love. Okay. Taryn and Alex, you both had him at third from the bottom on your rankings. Alex, what really stood out to you as Victor's problem?
I mean, you know, like, even the things he mentions as his strengths, he's like, well, I manage 14 different people. So obviously, like, I can, you know, control a lot of different personalities. It's like, dude, that's like 14 people from the same exact walk of life in New Orleans. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the same thing. And then who was the last person who told us this? It was Becky.
Becky.
Who had like one of the worst HOHs ever. You do not manage people well. So the track record is not there. He seems like, you know, anytime he's like, yeah, I'm a casual fan. Okay, you're a recruit. Moving on. Like,
well, in fairness, you know, and I didn't think that Victor was quite that bad. I didn't see a ton of negatives when I watched his video that, you know, it's very hard to get a lot out of these interviews because you have Jeff there who is really, you know, he's in a tough spot. And really, my heart goes out to Jeff doing this because he has to talk to these people for like 5 or 6 minutes. And many of these people have no ability to speak to Big Brother in any way, shape, or form. So Jeff is like forced to like fill time with these people. So he's got a couple of like pat things that he could go to, like, all right, so are you single? Are you looking for people in the house? And Jeff doesn't want to say single and ready to mingle anymore.
Right. But, he heard you, Robbie.
He pained him on this interview.
I don't
want to
be in Jeff's head. I don't want to be in Jeff's head on this.
Somebody has been pointing it out a little too much, I guess.
All right, so I'm not going to say that. But, and then he's got like, so, okay, so he's got that. And then he has, of course, the, all right, so if you had to win the game and be hated or lose the game and be loved, what would you pick? And he really like sets it up. Like he's really, the build up to this question is like, all right, this is my question. I ask it all the time and I got to know this from you. But then like he's forced to like come up with like bizarre hypothetical situations and like riddles that you would ask little kids because there's nothing to talk to these people about. Because if you were going to be there, and like if I was there and I was talking to these people, like I would want to get into, okay, so tell me, you know, how much, you know, well, really, how much exposure would you have to the show in terms of like, tell me about some other players that you've seen that you feel like that you would be a mix between. These people can't answer these questions. So it's either like, you know, it's like pulling teeth to get anything like strategic out of them that's not just super generic. And then we are forced, we actually don't learn that much about these people because they're just like answering riddles.
Didn't he ask a question about, like, what animal are you most like a couple years ago? Did that not get enough traction? Or
I think he's still asking them. I feel like they just cut them out of almost every single interview.
Yeah.
Because, like, everybody got that, like, egg question, right? I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's
the carton.
Yeah, it's tricky. My favorite was with Natalie when Jeff was like, "All right, I got a brain teaser for you." And she's like, "No, I'm not doing that." Yeah, but again, I didn't think that Victor was terrible. Tara, what's the upside for Victor? Give me the.
Oh man, I mean, the upside is that he falls in with the bros and they are bigger threats than him. He actually does get along with the women a lot better than them and is able to survive when the bros go extinct or is the leader of the bros when they succeed.
Yeah, it's hard to really paint that picture. I don't know if there's a winning scenario that you could see for him, but there's Victor. We'll see how he fares in the Big Brother house. All right, why don't we talk a bit about Corey? Here's Corey, who is somebody that also did not come in too highly with the live feed correspondence. You guys had him 9th overall cumulatively, and we ended up with Taryn being the highest on Corey. Taryn, what could you tell us about Corey?
He's the basic, bland, you know, alpha male.
It's basic.
yeah, he's basic. He's basic Corey. He is exact, like, he is clay redone, you know, remolded.
To a T.
Is he Clay's brother?
It could be, right?
I thought maybe Clay and Jeff Weldon were fused somewhere in a lab.
Hmm.
Are they looking for has-been sports players from Texas? Is this what's going on?
That's a thing. That's a thing now.
I think he may have even played like with Clay at Texas A&M.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't go far for this one.
He is from Dallas, Texas. He is 25 years old. He is a baseball coach that he likes the baseball, likes to go to all the baseball games. And they asked him, what Big Brother cast member do you like most? And he likes Cody from season 16.
Ding, ding, ding. Yep. He's also into real estate. So that's typical of what Big Brother looks for, I believe. He's somebody that's going to do well socially. He's kind of banking on that. These people, they last for a while. You know, Clay could have lasted a lot longer if he hadn't given up his game for Shelley.
True love.
I mean, he probably would have still left in that spot, but it was a weird spot to be in the first place. Vanessa kind of orchestrated it. These people, they go really far, and then they have a good chance to win just by winning out. We saw it with Jared last season. Clay, it could have happened with Clay. It happens all the time. I expect him to be really boring and to do well in the competitions at some point. And that's pretty much it. I mean, he didn't really seem to read Jeff's cues very well. he just, like, he wasn't really following what Jeff was throwing at him. But, you
how
know,
so?
He, just, like, in general, like Jeff was asking about his roommates, and he just, like, started listing them and naming them and describing each one. And Jeff was like, no, like, that's not really where I'm going with this.
First there's Dylan, and he has a hat, and he's exactly. My friend, and then
he also said in his bio that he loves to get sick bro pics when he goes and travels. So,
how do you define a sick bro pic?
It's self-evident.
What is that? what is that?
Like the definition of pornography. You know it when you see it.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, cool. Right, well, there was a weird dichotomy with him because he said that he would do anything to win $500,000. But then at the end, when Jeff said, you know, his famous question, he said he would rather lose the game and be loved because he really cares about his reputation.
He's a baseball coach, right?
Yeah, that was a real downer to me.
It seemed like Jeff pushed him into that. Like, you would do anything? Aren't you a baseball coach? Don't you want to represent your team?
Aren't you working with impressionable young people? You would do anything to win?
Think about the children, Corey.
Bro, you'd kill somebody? Did you just say you would murder someone in the house?
Well, at least he's pretty. Come on. Like, that's all we got with this guy. He's Clay. He's a has-been sports player, whatever. You know, he's going to be boring. He cares about his rep. He'd rather lose the game rather than be loved.
Pencil him in for jury.
He did get the riddle, though, so there's that. About
the
egg.
He did. I got it. He would know. How many eggs does it take? What would happen?
And the one thing that gives me hope is in his bio, he does, when he talks about his strategy, he does say something semi-coherent. He's thinking about the game in terms of, like, how, like, an actual strategy, which is more than we can say for a lot of these typical cast members that go in. I think he has the potential to do really well, but obviously he is the guy that he is, so not that hopeful.
I mean, I'm not bullish on Corey by any stretch of the imagination, but I mean, I feel like that this is the kind of guy who is going to be around for a while. He'll be fine. He'll get in a showmance. He'll make it to the jury, and we'll be talking about him, like, going into, you know, final six, final seven. You know, he'll be around, barring a disaster. Right.
Yeah, he'll need to win some competitions, and if he does, then maybe he's the winner.
Yeah. All right, we'll see. Anything else on Corey?
Just, you know, was Clay's sibling unavailable? Is that, you know?
That's all. Yeah. It's just like, it is weird to, you know, to cast Big Brother that you feel like, you know, on Survivor, I feel like we don't always get like repeats of like almost the same exact person, where it's almost like it's like, you know, it's like we're casting a play. And then it's like, okay, who's, and this season, the part of Clay is being played by, okay, you're the understudy, you're playing him this time. And it's just like, we have like a lot of these people that's just like the same person. It's like a reimagining of the role.
Yeah.
So here
that's how we saw too.
New Clay.
Well, they don't need to do it in Survivor because they actually have All-Star seasons. So
new Clay, same mold.
Right. All right. Then let's take another person here. Let's talk Bronte. Bronte, who is the mathematician? Is that her official official job?
Allegedly.
Alleged mathematician.
She's a student. Yeah,
Bronte.
Studying mathematics.
She's much better when she gets to do her work. Here is Bronte from San Diego. She's listed as a student here, but she does have a plan going into the season of how she wants to play, and she loves Derek as well. Okay, so you guys had Bronte, again, smack in the middle, cumulatively. I believe, Taryn, you had Bronte the highest. You had her number 4 in your rankings. So make the case for Bronte.
I love Bronte. I love anyone that loves science. okay, here's the thing about Bronte, though. I think this could be the first contestant where single-handedly her voice gets her evicted. Like, oh my God. I don't know if I could handle listening to that in the house for very long. I mean, I love her, but I don't know.
I thought she was doing a character.
You'd think.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's very analytical. She is willing to do whatever it takes to win. I think that she is much more devious than anybody will ever give her credit for. which is I think a huge benefit to her. I think this is one of the cases where she will be underestimated. I think people are going to let her slide by for a long time. Unless they hate her voice so much.
Yeah. Well, for those of the people that are listening to the podcast and maybe haven't seen any of this, let me just play a clip. Here is Bronte with Big Jeff from earlier today.
We're in the Big Brother house, season 18 underway in the diary room. I'm here with my new friend. Why don't you tell everybody your name, where you're from, you're bursting, and what you do for a living.
My name's Bronte. Hello. I'm from sunny San Diego.
Okay. Like Audrey 2, right. Or Audrey 1. So there is Bronte, and she's from San Diego, as we mentioned, and she's ready to go. Jeff looks like he's about to crack up. Yeah.
Here's another problem, though. She's a mathematician, but she can't do math in her head. So she's still going to fail on all these mental comps.
Okay, now let's take a look at the other side of Bronte, because Brent, you had Bronte dead last in your power rankings. You had her 12 out of 12, worse than anybody else that we've mentioned. Why do you feel like Bronte is going to be a disaster?
First of all, curse you, CBS, for making me listen to this girl all season on Big Brother. I have to watch the live feeds and I have to put up with this chick, okay? I can't believe, I almost fell off my chair. I didn't see the rankings ahead of time, so I didn't know what Taryn did with this girl. I cannot believe he ranked her number 4. What world are we living in? This is a batshit crazy version of Becky and Vanessa. Like, she thinks that she's going to get people to do her bidding by using logic and reason and noting that there are variables. I mean, she is an airhead. She has no coherent strategy. She doesn't know what she's talking about, and she can't do 9 times 9 when she says she's a mathematician. How in the world can you rank her number 4?
I think she's exactly the kind of person that people are going to underestimate, that she's going to go very far, and then she's the kind of person who, if she gets to the final two, she's going to be able to explain, she's going to be able to get people to respect her in a way that's more than somebody.
Rob, I don't know what show I'm on.
I have to say that I'm more with Brent on this one, because another thing that she said was that she said that part of her strategy is that she has to target somebody who's like Vanessa. If there was a Vanessa in the house, that would be somebody that she would have to go for right away. And I feel like that when she sees Vanessa's sister in the house, she's coming for her. And Vanessa's sister, Tiffany, is going to blow her out of the water.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when these returning players come in. If any girl early on, Q La Vida, who goes after some specific person and tries to make a big move early on, they are out of the house quicker than you can say anything. So there's no way this chick is ever getting to the final two. She's not going to be able to explain to the jury why she should be respected. You got it on tape. Ain't happening.
Brent, I have something else to tell you.
Oh, yes.
Alex had Bronte at number 5 in his rankings.
Boom!
God! Well, I'm not shocked, but I am a little bit shocked. Like, 5? Really? Honey, no. No pumpkin, no.
So, Alex, why do you feel so bullish about Bronte?
You know, I think she, you know, like Taryn said, there's winner upside here, with which you can't argue for some people, and I think that alone makes her somebody that I'm more inclined to rank higher. I think she's someone that's capable of like getting an alliance together and holding it together. You know, like there's not a lot of upside there either. But I think, you know, it's really hard to rank her because like the range of outcomes is so great. She could easily be out first. You know, like we talked about, there's a lot of reasons why people would just be like, oh, she's grading. She can't, you know, make a first impression. Well, there's a lot of, you know, scenarios where you could see her going early. At the same time, you know, there's a lot of, like Taryn said, she could very easily be underestimated. People could, you know, sleep on her to their own detriment. One thing that worries me about her is, you know, she wants to be the girl Derek. She really wants to be like this female, you know, alpha player. And, you know, if you are going
Cody's
to be
brother's in the house, this is great.
Well, if you're going to be underestimated, you can't play from ahead. You know what I mean? And that's a bit of the problem. Like, if she wants to be the kingpin, you know what I mean, and lead the charge, then she can't be underestimated. You can't have both. You know what I mean? And I think she's better off, at least for like the first half of the game, being part of someone else's machinations, at least letting them think they're running the show and then making a move. I hope she realizes that.
That's not what she said.
I'm
that's
worried,
not what she
right,
said. Right.
Right. I'm worried that she's going to, like, week one, try to throw something together, and then, like, returnees are going to enter the house, and she's going to be, like, this season's version of the regulators.
Yep. Okay, so if you're still not, like, understanding what I'm seeing in Bronte, I see her as kind of like, like, people have said that Nicole is kind of like the female equivalent of like Ian or Steve. I think Bronte is legitimately like the female equivalent of that character type. And I think she has the same upside that that character type does. She's a bit grating, but people are going to underestimate her. And then when it comes down to those final competitions, she might do well.
Please,
and
stop.
She might get the same respect that they do.
Stop. You guys are totally underestimating the fact that people are stuck in a house with this girl.
I said up front that this is without her voice.
Yes. This is part of her. That's part of her.
She's the modern day Holly King.
Yeah, she can't pull a Little Mermaid and like swap out voices before she goes in there. It's unfortunate.
Maybe she can quietly in person.
Yeah. Okay. We will see. We will see. I do like that, you know, and they asked her, which past Big Brother cast member do you like most? I love Derek. He played such a well-rounded game. I truly want people to say, oh, Bronte is the girl version of Derek, which is what the Pax brothers said, who won Big Brother Canada.
There you go.
And yep. They were Derek.
They
yeah.
truly were the girl version of Derek. That's it.
Okay. All right. So we are halfway there. We're going to take a quick break for 30 seconds here. And come back and bring you the second half of our BB18 cast preview.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
All right, and we're back here with our second half of the BB18 cast preview. Let's pick up right where we left off, and let's see our next person. Let's talk Bridget. Here is Bridget, and let's get into somebody who the live feed rankers were, again, sort of in the middle on. Taryn, you had Bridget at number 3 on your list.
Advocate 3 times in a row. she's 24. She's a traveling nurse. She's currently living in Ventura, California. She likes sci-fi, comedy, and yoga, I wrote down. She really loved Johnny Mac, and I see her kind of looking to fill a similar role where she wants to play up her goofy side but secretly be a fan of the show who's very smart. She's a big fan. She's watched a lot. She's very goofy. She's very outgoing, very bubbly, and very personable. I thought she did a really good job in her interview with Jeff.
Okay. Then, Alex, you were the lowest on Bridget. You had her 4th from the bottom in your rankings. So what were you not seeing from Bridget?
I don't know. Yeah, Bridget was tough for me to rank. I mean, you know, in my notes I have, could she be the Joey that doesn't suck? You know what I mean? Like, there's upside, but like at the same time, like, you know, like the traveling nurse thing. I think that is a very interesting profession that could play very well in the Big Brother house. I mean, she has to work with different groups of people all the time. She has to throw herself in a situation and be useful and, you know, appreciated by others. And I think that's pretty much what this is. Then, you know, she said a lot of things that just kind of made me like, she knows she's a bad liar. At least she shows some self-awareness there, but that's not a good thing to be, you know, like. And she seems so bubbly and so fun. Like, you can't be this for 100 days. There's just no way you can be this person forever. I don't buy it. I mean, she talked a little bit about how certain things might make her react a certain way. Like, I feel like we haven't seen enough from Bridget to really paint a full picture. And so, like, it was hard for me to really give her any kind of like winner's equity, so to speak.
It's hard for me to sort of put my finger on who she is like in terms of like this is a casting choice that I don't really fully understand yet in terms of how she's going to be in the house. Brent, is she's the Meg this season?
Yeah, maybe. That's actually a really good comparison. Yeah. I also had trouble evaluating her. Here's the thing. I think maybe this is why there's a little bit of disconnect between maybe Taryn's rankings and my rankings, considering my rankings are correct, is because Taryn's maybe looking at them in a bubble. Like, I was impressed with this girl in a bubble. Like, she seems to have a good understanding of Big Brother, a great understanding of strategy and what you're supposed to do in the house. I'm looking at it from the perspective of, okay, these are the other 11 people that are with this chick. How is she going to do compared to them and interacting with them in the house? And I don't really see a path forward for her. I think that there's really not a place for her to land, and I'm with Rob in terms of I don't even know why she was cast on the show to begin with. Maybe the Meg, maybe she can be fun, but I also worry that she might get a little bit ahead of herself because she definitely seems to have a strategy. And any girl that besides Vanessa Russo, for the most part, who seems to, you know, take the bull by the horns and want to do something in the house gets targeted very quickly. So I worry about her there. I had her 8.
Yeah. I'm more saying that I don't know who she is yet, right, rather than sort of like pounding the table. Like, I don't know why she got cast.
You know, I'm not pounding the table, but I am like, well, why was she cast again?
I think she's a little bit, Meg and a little bit, oh man, I'm forgetting. In Big Brother 15, Amanda's like Helen, a little bit Meg, a little bit Helen.
Yeah, I saw Helen.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay. I did too.
All right, so not a lot to go off of with Bridget so far. So let's keep moving along, and let's talk about our next contestant. It's Zakiya. She's getting her Kia this upcoming Wednesday to come into the house, and she is here. She is a preschool teacher. She is a knockout, and she is ready for Big Brother 18. All right. And the live feeders were pleased. They liked Zakiya overall. Cumulatively, she was their third highest person, the highest of the non-siblings. And Alex, you had her at number 4 overall.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot to like from Zakiya. She definitely seems to, you know, first of all, she really seems to be someone who knows who she is, which is important going into the house. I don't think enough people are really self-aware and know their own strengths and weaknesses. You know, they claim they do, but then like some house guests will be like, well, my weakness is that I'm so strong that other people hate me. Like, you don't get it. You know what I mean? And that didn't seem like Zakiya. It's interesting, you know, I mean, she's single, she's young, she's attractive, but I did kind of get like they were looking for the sass of Mama Day and the giggles of Mama Jay. You know what I mean? And they got Zakiya.
Right.
She seems like a very capable liar. She seems like she's going to be, she strikes me as very solid casting. Like, I really like what I think she's going to bring to the table. I like that she describes herself as charming, bouncy, and ambitious. Like, she's got the right kind of mix of what people in the house wouldn't fear and what can actually, you know, help you get far in the game, you know, despite what people think about you. So, you know, I mean, I think the fact that her favorite house guest is Jordan Lloyd, is not great in terms of how it speaks to a killer instinct, but you know, it may speak well to her self-awareness.
She has watched since season 3. So, and she is not a recruit.
And that's big for me too. So yeah, I like Zakiya.
The fact that she's watched since season 3 and Jordan Lloyd is her favorite.
Well, who doesn't love Jordan Lloyd? Come on.
She seemed a little too antsy to get into a relationship in the house. That
like
was excited, the only
like
thing
she wanted one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she really wanted to have like a Jeff to that she could be the Jordan to.
Okay, we'll see. Yeah, that.
I really liked her because of the fact that she's hungry to me. She seems hungry. She needs the money. She'll do anything to win the game. I liked the fact that she was ready to use anything. You know, a lot of these girls go in the house, they answer Jeff's questions, and they, you know, when they get to the flirting / showmance card question, they'll sort of skirt around Jeff's question a little bit. This girl, no qualms about using her body, using anything that she has, or her flirting, anything to get the boys to do what she wants them to do. I like it. The one thing I didn't like, and I had her 6 on my list, she did acknowledge that her mouth could get her in trouble. Big surprise, I know. But still, you know, if you're a big fan of Big Brother, you know you've got to keep that trap shut when you want to open it. And I'm hoping that she's able to do that. I would love to see her go far. She was stunning to me.
Yeah, she could. She has upside.
She says in her bio that she wants to be real and actually play the game.
Don't be real.
That's like red flags for me. Both of those things are red flags for me. If she's in the house saying, come on, you got to actually play the game, guys, that's not going to work.
Yeah, those are the losers.
Don't Sierra Easton it in there.
Exactly. She also said her motto is you only live once, which I just think is really dumb. So
that was not as bad as Corey's, who was life is like a box of chocolates. Give me a break.
Tyron, you're down. You're that down on you only live once.
It's so redundant to say that. Yes, you only live once. It could mean anything. You could use it to
would
justify anything.
Would you prefer
anything.
YOLO?
Yeah.
Tyron's such a hater.
You only live once. No, like obviously.
Boy, I didn't know that was. This is the most mad I've seen Tyron in a couple
know,
of
right?
years.
I love it. Let's do that again.
Tyron, not a fan of reincarnation.
Only live once. That's right. Okay. Let's keep going then. And don't forget, we want to take your questions after we get through everybody. So hashtag RHAP or on our YouTube channel at robinsonwebsite.com/YouTube. Let's keep going with Josiah. Here we go. Somebody who, surprisingly, the guys were not super high on, except for Brent, who has Josiah number one.
Whoa.
Okay, here we go.
Ahead of both the returning siblings.
Well, when I didn't know how you guys ranked everybody, but I saw the cumulative rank of him, and when I saw that, I was like, oh boy, they really hated this guy. It's Jose, by the way.
Jose.
It's Jose, correct. And I really thought he has a lot of winner upside to me. Reminded me a lot of Kevin Campbell from Big Brother 11. Seems to have a lot of empathy. Seems to understand that you have to keep a balance in the house between strategy and getting to know people, letting people inside your personality a little bit so that they can trust you. I'm sort of a sucker for this kind of a player. He said that the last time he cried was when someone stole his food out of the fridge, which I actually thought was totally hilarious. And he seemed a little cagey. He didn't necessarily take a lot of Jeff's binary questions and answer them. He kind of turned them around into what he wanted to say. So I'm sort of lost on why everyone's so down on him.
I could key in maybe on, okay. I think I have a clue.
Okay.
They asked Jose, which past Big Brother cast member did you like most? He said, I loved Frankie Grande because to me, he had drive, nerve, talent, and was a very strong competitive player.
All those things are true. Frankie was
like a Frankie.
Josiah does.
Listen, Frankie was a good player. It's not a bad player to put down on your list, and not a lot of people are doing that. So he probably put that on his bio to stand out when he was filling it out.
CBS.
He says he's going to play the game hard and go for the win. He seems like someone that people would trust, and I think he's going to have a lot of social currency in the house. You know, you have to trust somebody, and this seems like somebody who, you know, they'll look at other people and go, ah, they're sneaky, but I really like Jose, so let's go with him. So okay. I don't see him being targeted soon. I think he has winner upside.
All right, on the other end of the spectrum, both Alex and Tyron had Jose at number 11 overall.
Wow. Wow.
I think you're giving him way too much credit when you say he put Frankie to stand out. He said he recently got into Big Brother. I don't think he's thinking on that kind of meta level at all.
Well, there's a lot of house guests you could put down, but nobody puts Frankie down except for this guy.
I think he thinks that Frankie is one of the like fan favorite people, and that's why he put him down. I think you mentioned it. He didn't really match Jeff's energy very well. He wasn't really responding to Jeff's questions, and he seemed very like introverted and like soft spoken and very just like wasn't able to feel very personable. It seemed like he maybe got better as the conversation went on. So maybe as he gets in the house, he will be able to form like stronger bonds with people. But it seemed like he just couldn't relate to Jeff on a personal level. And that, like, that's something that I look for when we have such little information to go on.
Yeah, but that's a trap, Taryn, because last year I was like, boy, Jace is really hitting it off with Big Jeff.
Right.
Well, that's what you thought.
The other thing, too, you know, no offense, Taryn, but Rob always says, you know, go to sleep for the first month. I think, I'm serious, I do think this is the kind of guy who's not going to get noticed, going to stay under the radar for the first month, develop some social relationships with people, have a little bit of currency in the house, and then be able to play the game. And he's also hungry. Like, he wasn't one of these people that
somebody
was like,
took his food, Brent.
Well, you know.
They ate his Puerto Rican fruit.
I think he can, if he's the kind of guy who can cry over the fact that somebody stole his food from Puerto Rico, he's a sensitive guy, the girls are really like him, I think he can get along with people.
Now, do we feel like that him and Victor could hit things off? I mean, that seems like a specific, two people with the same
they're heritage. Both from Puerto Rico, but I don't know. Victor seems like a really bit of a man's man, and although he doesn't come out and say it, I could be, you know, speaking out of school here, but I do think Jose is part of the LGBT community, so it's possible, but who knows?
I will say that after I ranked him 11th, I saw on Twitter some pictures that are beyond just the profile pictures that CBS released, and he is, like, insanely fit.
Kept talking about that and I didn't get it. He kept talking about your body or something.
Oh, Brent, you want to see these pictures.
All right,
you're already in love with this guy.
You know, my first thought was Kevin Campbell looks more like Devin Campbell.
Oh Lord.
Yeah. I have to agree with Brent here overall though on Jose, because I did not find him to be aggressively bad as you guys did. I felt like he was middle of the road, but I would say that I didn't find anything that was like really off-putting about him.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Tim.
I think he's going to go far. That's the thing. I think he will go far. I just kept picturing him as like a somebody in the end speaking to the jury. The way that he, you know, presented himself in the interview and through the bio, I just can't see him being a winner. But that's very much subject to change when I see him in the house. And again, the fact that he is so fit, I think that by itself will earn him some respect and potentially get him over that line.
Okay. All right. Anything else to say on Jose?
Yeah, Alex, you had him also ranked next to dead last.
You called him No Way Jose.
No Way Jose. Yeah, I mean, for me, again, you know, Taryn touched on it. Just, you know, talked about being a fan of recent seasons really strikes me as, again, you know, a recent fan. You know what I mean? Probably doesn't know the game as well as a lot of the people he's going to be in there playing with. I don't care what some of these people say. That is a disadvantage. And, like, again, like, he doesn't seem to know, like, you know, Jeff said, like, what weaknesses will you have? What obstacles will you have to overcome? And he's like, well, you know, I don't know. Like, I'll figure it out when you get there. Like, I feel like if you don't know yourself well enough to know what weaknesses you're going to have to overcome, you're not going to figure it out when you get there. You know what I mean? So that was just a couple. There wasn't a lot to pick apart, but for me, there was, like, a few red flags.
Okay. All right, let's keep moving. I think we have three more people to talk about tonight. Or actually, maybe it might be four. Glenn is here. Let's talk about Glenn, who you guys had surprisingly high, number four overall in the cumulative rankings. Brent, you were the highest on Glenn.
Yeah, I like this guy. First of all, thank you, CBS, for casting somebody over the age of 40. I still hope for me. This guy's 50 years old. He reminds me of Derek. Actually, I think him and Polly could get along really, really well. I mean, Glenn's an older figure. He talks pretty much like Polly talks with that thick Jersey, New York, Italian-American accent. He seems hungry to win some money. I think he's going to be very lovable in the house. You know, people are going to underestimate him, and he seems to know the game really well, and he's a big fan.
Okay. All right. That is the opinion for Glenn. I guess, Taryn, you have him the lowest. Still not that fifth from last.
Yeah, I mean, I think that as a player, there's nothing overly wrong with him. It's just his age is going to be a huge factor. I mean, that's really it. He's a big fan of the show. His four listed players were Will, Evil Dick, Boogie, and Frankie, which I thought was a very strange combination.
Murderer's Row.
At least he knows who those people
casual.
Are.
Yes, but the fact that he does know who those people are, that's good. Obviously, he bears a striking resemblance to Pop and Paul Jackson. And he has his...
I don't think that it will be an aesthetic resemblance only. I think that Glenn is the first person out of Big Brother 18, and I feel strongly about it.
You seem to say dude a lot, too.
Yeah, we could only hope, because he does have the same attitude where he is the guy that would be like, I need to be the bad guy. I need to do it.
I'm telling you, so cut to 2-hour premiere that everybody is like opening champagne and like all these like recruits and everything are hanging out in the hot tub. And Glenn is like holed up with like 2 or 3 people in the HOH, like, all right, everybody, this is the final four. We're doing this right now. This is it. This is the group. He's on the block week one and probably first one out of the house.
By the way, guys, have I mentioned that I have a daughter?
Yep. Well, I've got that in my notes. Glenn has a daughter.
He does have a daughter.
I feel like Glenn has no chill, Brent.
Oh, I disagree. And I also think this is another soft landing spot for him. I mean, if he could have drawn up a house of people that, you know, he could possibly get along with, because you know Big Brother's others, always going to be a bunch of young people. He's going to have some returning players coming into the house. He's going to have Paulie in the house, and they're basically from the same hometown, and there's some other fans of Cody. So, like, there's some tangential relationships that he could be able to form in the house. I really do see some upside here, Rob.
He's, like, the only grown-up who's there, and he looks like he's up to something. He looks schemey. Like, this guy is going to be on everybody's radar.
I think that here's what I predict is that Paulie and him will get into some sort of alliance/friendship. I think Paulie will protect him, and I think that's what's going to happen. So we'll see what happens. I've been wrong before.
I think he's too old for Paulie. I think he's just too old.
I'm not too old for Paulie.
Yeah, you think Paulie wants to hang out with Glenn? Like, there's all these other bros and women in the house. He wants to be hanging out with Glenn all the time.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean,
like
Derek
Tony Vlachos' uncle.
Derek, look, people forget how old Derek looked when he first went into the Big Brother house compared to the other house.
Glenn's going
to
go undercover, Brent? Like 21 Jump Street?
The hoodie drops 20 years.
Saying that there are older people who have developed relationships with some of the younger people in the house. Paulie, you know, for all of his hustlerish sort of New Jersey talk, does seem like he has a bit of an old soul to me. He seems very introspective. I like how he talks. So I think he could get along with him.
Well, but to me, I don't think he's going to be able to do like a Jack Owens where people are going to be like, he's the lovable older guy in the house. Let's keep, he's harmless. Like he is going to be playing hard. He was telling Big Jeff, I'll do whatever it takes to win this money. Like this guy is not going to just sit back and be the lovable older guy.
Okay. All right. Well, Pop, we'll see.
Pop and Paul did think he fit in with the young people too, dude. Oh <my God.
laughs> Did Pop and Paul also say that he was going to flirt despite the fact that this guy has a fiance?
Yeah, that's a good, great point, Taryn. Yeah, Glenn was like talking about like, I talked to my fiance and I'll flirt with the women. Like, oh, please do, Glenn. I'm sure the women in the house are dying. You flirting with the women is going to convince them to do anything except Paul production.
Jeff totally boxed him into that question. Like, I mean, he kept talking about it. He's like, so the wife understands everything? I mean, what's he supposed to say? No, I'm an ugly piece of ass and, you know, no one's ever going to look at me? I mean, come on.
Yeah, Glenn.
I did like how he was a dick back to Jeff. He's like, oh, yeah, engagement. Yeah, you know what that's about, right? You've been doing that last, you know, baker's dozen years.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be married
by the
time I get out of
the house.
So if
you had a baker's dozen of eggs and everybody took one free.
I thought that was the answer to the question at first. I really did. I thought, was it a baker's dozen? I don't know.
That's a good thing. At the carton.
I liked how this was the interview where Jeff said, you know, I'm not Nostradamus here, but I think you got a good shot. If Jeff, you know, if Jeff was Nostradamus, that makes us God, Rob.
All right. Oh, man.
I'm no Schroederdamus, but so Glenn is going to be Feeds Gold, though. That is what I do love the casting of Glenn, that he is going to be dynamite on the feeds. Him and Paul go tip-top toes for a couple of weeks on the feeds. That'll be great.
All right. We can look forward to it.
All right. So looking forward to seeing Glenn and at least 10 days of excitement in the Big Brother house, courtesy of Glenn. All right. Let's talk about Michelle, who really it was like the conventional wisdom on Michelle is like very similar looks wise to Nicole from the aforementioned BB16, Michelle Meyer, the 23-year-old nutritionist from Washington Township, Michigan. The live feeders, live feed guys, were somewhat so-so on Michelle, tied for seventh place. Let's go to Brent, who you had her the highest.
Yeah, this was tough because I like what I see from Michelle. Obviously, she knows the game, huge fan of the show, seems to have a coherent strategy, seems to know what she's supposed to do. But how is she going to interact in a house with this much personality and masculinity and testosterone, especially with the returning players coming in? I worry that people will look at her as a threat. I think she even at one point said, well, you know, she doesn't want to let people know that she's too smart. I'm like, honey, that the horses are out and the barn door is closed. Like, there's no way people aren't going to know that you're smart, especially the way she talks. So there's that. But on the other hand, you know, when there are a bunch of knuckleheads in the house, I do like the fact that she can actually think for herself and has some semblance of a coherent strategy. So, you know, I ranked her fifth.
I'm surprised how down you guys are on her. I feel like that I'm probably even more high than any of you guys. Well, I mean, in my rankings than any of you guys are. I mean, Taryn, you had her fourth from the bottom.
Yeah, you know, and I had her, I was kind of optimistic about her based on her bio, but watching her interview, she was so awkward. Like, she seemed like such a space cadet. She reminded me a lot more of a Nick than Nicole from, a Nick from Big Brother Canada. She just...
As opposed to a Phil from Big Brother Canada?
Yeah.
Rob, being the highest on her, I guess, does that make you a Michelle truther?
Yes. Oh. Double L, Michelle.
She talked about wanting to win as many competitions as possible, which I never think is a good thing. And yeah, just in general, I don't know how she fits in. You know, it's, I mean, maybe it might have just been nerves, but I just felt like she had the most uncomfortable interview that I saw of anybody.
It's interesting. I definitely hear what you're saying. She is awkward. And I guess really it's going to come down to like what you said about Bronte earlier.
Exactly.
I feel like that I see that as Michelle here, that I feel like that she is going to be able to be more social with the other people in the house. They asked her which past Big Brother cast member do you like most? She said Ian Terry, because he is so freaking attractive to me. Well, Ian Terry, somebody check on Ian Terry tonight and make sure that he's okay.
Well, he tweeted something along the lines of like, it was nice to be called attractive without it being prefaced by like in a weird way.
Oddly.
Yes.
I know where he's coming from on that one.
He had great strategy in taking punishments and seeming weak in the beginning. I plan on having a 4-6 person alliance that I will stick to. I'm bullish on Michelle. If there was a female to follow in the lineage of Ian and Steve, I feel like it could be Michelle.
I do agree. I think she has that upside. I think that I personally think that Bronte fits it better. But I'm certainly like willing to see her in the house interacting with people and kind of flip it around and see that, you know, maybe she does fit this role a bit better.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I just like our chances so much more in a season without like siblings and returnees and people that, you know, had the potential to like railroad someone who's maybe a more subtle player. Like, she strikes me as someone that could really like get something going when everyone's starting on like level footing and stuff. But I really worry about her ability when she's like, when people are already a step ahead of her, like how is she going to respond, you know?
Yeah. Her favorite activities include cooking, reading, going on Reddit, watching live feeds, and also researching nutrition-related topics, photography, working out, and selling stuff on eBay. Has anybody checked how many of the Big Brother live feed correspondents does she follow on Twitter?
Oh, I didn't even look.
The only one who I'm aware follows me is Tiffany Russo as of today.
Oh, wow.
Must have been family.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see about that. But no, Michelle, I mean, she's on Reddit. She's watching live feeds. Maybe she listens to the show.
The thing I liked about it the most was that she, you know, when Jeff was asking his famous question at the end, she said that every player, even the best ones, have haters. So she's not going to let that stop her. Frankly, I think that's the least of her worries. I really don't see how you could hate Michelle, unless maybe she evicts one of the favorite, you know, returning players that are coming. But
if they're favorites.
Yeah. I think I don't know. I'm more with Rob. I see some more upside to Michelle, and it's going to be maybe a rough week or two at the beginning. If she can avoid that, I think she's fine.
Okay. All right. And then one more person to talk about here tonight. Why don't we talk about someone who did not fare particularly well with our live feed panel? She was aggressively offensive to all three of the live feed correspondents, coming in respectively 12th, 12th, 11th, and I'm not sure if I would rank her 11th or 12th in my own personal rankings. Let's talk about Natalie, a Big Brother disaster in the making. Taryn, what was so off-putting to you about Natalie and her chances?
Well, I can start by reading her interests.
Oh, great.
But I don't think anybody's interested in hearing about how she loves painting, cooking, baking, eating, napping, shopping, online shopping, doing makeup, doing hair, tanning, pageants, dating, dancing, going on dates, and that's like not even half of it.
Very good, Taryn. I like that.
Right. She's never lived with a man before. She wants to fake people out with her kindness. She's not really a fan of the show. She's single as a Pringle.
Well, I like that. That's good. That's good. That's not the same as single and ready to mingle.
But I thought, like, once you pop, the fun can't stop. Like, how can it be just one?
I don't know.
She will not be sleeping with anyone, but she will lie. So those are the boundaries. And she really wants to start a girls' alliance, which always goes really well in the Big Brother house.
Okay. They also asked her, do you have a strategy for winning this game? She said, yes! Exclamation point. I'm super girly and athletic and will fake everyone out with my kindness. I'll act very innocent, stay low-key for the first week, won't win the first challenge. Then I'm going to start showing I'm a powerful force not to be messed with in week two. I will have an alliance with only three women because, get this, women suck at this game, and I was an NFL cheerleader for the New York Jets, and I know how to deal with large groups of women.
Large groups of women, like groups of three. Very large.
And women suck at this game. Yes, maybe starting with you, Natalie.
Can I just say that, first of all, I love the casting, number one. I mean, like, she is going to be great in the Big Brother house.
A train wreck.
She's not going to be a great player, but she's going to be fun to watch. You know, I love that she owns her Latina heritage very well. She's from Venezuela. She's born in Caracas, for God's sake. She's just, she's so much fun, and she had a great rapport with Big Jeff, so that's the upside to her. But like Taryn said, the whole thing about a women's alliance is a big red flag. The minute that gets out, those boys are going to target her and get her out of the house. It could even be week one. Natalie, hold on, girl. I want to see more from you.
And I love the way she describes it, right? It's like three women, no more. And then maybe we'll add a man or two. You're making the bomb squad from the other side. Listen to yourself.
It doesn't work
also,
for the creator.
It doesn't work for the creator.
Right, true.
Yeah. Was it sparkles or glitter is a color?
Glitter.
According to Natalie.
No.
Yeah.
Glitter is a color.
My answer to that is no.
She has glitter hairspray to keep herself on point. I'm not sure what's going to go on here, whether the people find her charming. And you say it's no showmance for Natalie?
That's what she says, and she doesn't seem to. She's never lived with men before, and she doesn't even want them in her alliance. She might add them at the bottom, like, and she's no showmance, and a girl looking like that. I mean, this girl, she seems like she really cares about her rep, and as opposed to somebody like Zakiya, who was willing to do anything to win floor with any of the boys to win, I really don't like what I'm seeing from Natalie.
And that's so weird because I feel like that she's cast to be in a showmance with somebody, but it seems weird that they put her on the show and she's saying she's not going to showmance.
On the other hand, Austin from last year said that his princess is in another castle and he's not going to do a showmance, and then he did. So maybe she'll change her mind.
If she survives the first week, she's going to be in a showmance.
Okay. I think that's her ticket out past the first week.
She needs to take that ticket. Girl, get on that ticket.
So, you know, and Brent, you had her the highest of the ranker.
That's not the Rob, low bar here. Come on. It was like I had her 11th. Everybody else had her ranked dead last. Come on. That's only because I hated Bronte more than her. And okay. I think she has teeny bit of upside if she doesn't go through with this plan to have a women's alliance and somehow finds her way into some other alliance. She could be okay.
She could be DJ Papa.
Pow pow. That's well. All right. I want to take questions from you guys as well. Hashtag RHAP. Now that we've talked through our 12 new contestants who are going to be playing in the game. Now, tell me if this is a dumb question or not. Is the person that you guys had at number one in your power rankings, is that consistent with your winner picks through the 12 people that we've seen?
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose. If I had to put it on somebody, it's, you know, yeah.
Okay, so that would be just going down the line that for Taryn and Alex, Tiffany, Brent says Jose. There's nobody that I feel strongly about that I think that based on the returning players, I think I might look there. But I'll say of the people we talked about tonight, give me Michelle.
Okay.
Took a long look at Zakiya, but... I'm licking my wounds from Davon last season. So I'll go with Michelle.
She could have been a contender, Rob.
I'd probably take a returning player, to be honest.
Yeah, me
okay.
too.
All right, we'll revisit this when we get to premiere night.
Yeah.
All right.
But you've made fans of Michelle everywhere very nervous.
Yes, as they should be. Hey, I picked Andy, but 3 years ago.
How quickly they forget.
They forgot. Okay. And so, of course, the Big Brother live feeds kick off 1 week from Thursday night after the Thursday episode of Big Brother. We are not expecting a week one eviction, correct? That will be the following Thursday, Alex?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't think so. Yeah, I mean, they haven't been doing that in the past.
We're
going to
do it 2 hours on Wednesday and an hour on Thursday.
Yeah, that's what worries me.
And like, you know, this is the last time we had a format anything like this was BB14 where someone named Jody got Jodied. So,
oh, is it possible we are headed into if it's coaches, Taryn? Are we going to see a draft on this Wednesday night, next Wednesday night?
I don't think so. I really don't think they're going to go the coaches route.
All right, we'll have... AJ Mass yep. Is on standby to break down the draft.
Maybe it's not coaches, but they could do like teams. And, you know, if your team, somebody on your team wins HOH, then, you know, you're safe for the week. Sort of like the click twist from Big Brother 11. That's possible, you know?
You know, I feel like in the bit that I've heard you guys discuss this, I feel like that you guys and the internet community as a whole, I feel like is pretty much anti-coaches. I felt like that Big Brother 14 is a pretty good season of Big Brother.
I love the coaches. Yeah.
Okay, so Brent, you're in favor of the coaches. Alex and Tara, are you guys pro-coaches or anti-coaches?
I think Big Brother 14 is better if they don't start with the coaches. I think it's better if they just go in the game.
I agree. Yeah, I prefer, you know, like, let's know what we're going to do. Like, it was so obvious they were going to go in the game. Like, let's just start everyone from as much of a level playing field as we can in my ideal version of the game, you know?
Okay, but if it's coaches and maybe like it's only like the first couple of weeks, is there any upside to that?
There's always upside, Rob. It's Big Brother. Come on.
Okay. All right. So let's get into taking some of these questions. Scott St. Pierre has been following very closely what you guys are saying on social media and on our YouTube channel. And why don't we jump into this? Emily Stobbs writes in to say, do you think that Glenn could give us Pop and Paul like diary rooms? Is that possible? Alex?
Well, he'll need to borrow Jose's hat, but yeah, I think he's got it. He's got it pretty well pegged at that point.
All right. But then should we be on the lookout for a reality TV happy hour with Glenn coming up sometime soon?
If it is, I can only hope that it's one iota as delusional as false, because that was gold.
All right. Keith Dixon says, there's got to be a game twist, right? I'm kind of surprised we didn't have one announced yet. I mean, we do have two siblings of former players in the house. No, Brent?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at pictures of Jose. What did you say? Oh. Yeah, no.
Are you surprised we didn't have any mention of a twist today?
Oh, I know. Am I surprised? No, I'm not surprised. Big Brother likes to hold these things for some reason until the premiere. Again, if they announced it today, we'd all still watch on Wednesday and Thursday. Like, there's no reason to keep us in the dark like this. It's just Big Brother being Big Brother.
But don't you want to give Big Brother Twitter 8 days to complain about the twist?
Well, maybe that's
sort of like get the buzz going.
Right. Maybe that's what they're guarding against. But I think we're going to like the twist. Or at least, let me say this. I think I'm going to like the twist this season.
Okay.
These other two,
maybe on day 32, Tiffany will just walk out and Vanessa will walk in and they'll see who notices.
Yeah. All right. Ginny A says, do you think that Glenn and Pauly will team up and form the wannabe hitmen? Okay. Is that a possibility, Alex?
It's possible. I just, you know, I don't know that I see Glenn having the Derek upside that I think maybe some people do, but that could be an alliance. You know, anything could be an alliance. I just, you know, I mean, the regulators were an alliance. They just didn't have the success to, you know, go with it.
Glenn Garcia is not Derek Levasseur.
What? Okay? Three.
It's a hot take, Rob.
Glenn Garcia, look, is Glenn Garcia the brother of Billy Garcia?
I can't wait until the final two. CBS is going to take that clip of you saying that, and they're going to play it on the finale. When he also reveals that he used to be a detective.
I think you could say reveal that he's Billy Garcia's brother.
Yes, and also Billy Garcia's brother, and he also has won Candace's heart.
And his drummer.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Edwin Hernandez says, are there any potential showmances? Spicy Wasabi wants to know, who do you see having a fairy tale showmance like Liston? Yes, that great fairy tale.
Really was
God.
Okay.
Really was the stuff dreams were made of, Rob.
Let's call the showmances. All right, Alex, who you got?
Oh, man. That's tough.
It's a tough season, I think, for the showmance.
Yeah, it's tough to peg it. I mean, you know, people come in and they say, you know, there's plenty of people who come in and say, like, I'm going to get in a showmance. But, you know, sometimes they're Jesse Kowalski or they're, you know, Phil Paquette. And it just doesn't, you know, the chemistry isn't there with whatever individual.
I see Zakiya and Victor getting together. Victor.
I thought maybe Corey with Zakiya.
That would be my second choice. Yes, that would be my second choice. Because I don't know if Corey's anything like Clay, but... you know, Clay liked him, a girl of color. So I think that Zakiya could have some suitors in the house. I like that.
I feel like Zakiya would be looking for like the sweetheart rather than like the player in Victor.
What do you guys think about Michelle and Pauly as like a little throwback to Nicole and Cody? Which some people
I think
thought
that's a little too on the nose, honey. No.
If Pauly is anything like Cody, he's just going to be a big flirt and not. Like ever really, you know?
Yeah, he just flirts. He never puts out. Come on.
I hope his sinuses are clear because Cody was hard to listen to sometimes on the feed.
Was he like Big Brother Jared? Yeah,
he snuffled quite a bit with the he's a bit clogged, that Cody.
Okay, Dave 22XX. Is it just me or is Big Jeff getting a lot better at the interviews? And then Ashley wants to know: will CBS ever give Jeff new questions? I think that Jeff does the best with what he has to work with.
Yes, like, I will give him. I know we're laughing. I like to have fun with Big Jeff, but I will give him some props. I thought the interviews, you know, were probably as good as they could be given the current house guests that they have going into the house right now. Jeff seemed to have a good time with it. He seems to be in on the joke, whereas before, I think he maybe have fought it a little bit. I think he gets it now, like what he's there for and what he's not there for and what this is and what it's not. So I liked it, Big Jeff.
I actually like Jeff as an interviewer, to be honest. I find it very funny, the idea that Jeff is just kind of like stuck in the diary room all the time and he just wants new questions, but they keep forcing him to ask the same questions over and over. And he's just like, please, new questions.
Yeah. I'd like to know how offensive of an answer does somebody have to give before Jeff says that an answer is a bad answer to a question.
Right. Like, yeah. There are no wrong answers here.
There's
Rob.
No wrong answers. And Jeff, like, no matter what the answer is, like, all right. So, what's, What's something that you would bring with you to a barbecue? What would your favorite thing to bring to a barbecue? Like, well, actually, I like to bring a tanning bed. Like, oh, okay, tanning bed. Okay, got it. Good. That's a good. Like, good answer. Jeff is you want him on your Family Feud team.
Yeah, that is by far my least favorite thing about Jeff is that like he'll ask the question like, would you rather win and be hated or lose and be loved? And then immediately be like, it's okay though if you want both. Like it completely invalidates the entire point of the question. Why are you asking if you're just going to tell them that they can answer the cop out answer?
Well, nobody ever accused these interviews of being Frost Nixon, Rob.
Yeah. All right. Let's take another question. Lumostat, who in the cast is most likely to be first out? This is really a coin toss for me between Glenn and Natalie. What for you guys? Is Natalie the consensus pick? Any objections to that?
I think Bronte is the first one out.
Bronte out first.
Yep. I'm sticking with my rankings.
I think there's so much variance in who could be first out just based on the returning player situation. They could be a target, or they could be targeting somebody like Tiffany or like Natalie. I think it could go a number of ways. I think
let's talk that through here just as a thought experiment. So we've seen returning players come back into the house with new players in Big Brother 13 with the coaches twist in Big Brother 14 as well. And you've seen people like Jesse in the house with new players. So who are the types of players that are typically targeted by the returning players, Alex?
People that show any indication that they're going to try to mount any kind of resistance to what's going on. And yeah, I mean, I honestly do see Natalie maybe pulling a little bit of like, get in the house, 5 minutes in, grad three girls. Hey guys, I've got an idea and it's called El Cuatro. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she had an idea for an alliance too. That's the thing where I feel like that somebody like a Glenn, who is the person who has seen a lot of Big Brother, I feel like that he's gonna say like, oh, it's starting where we gotta get the regulators together. We gotta start a counter resistance to the returning players. We gotta take them out. They're gonna take us out. We need to start. Like, I feel like whoever is the leader of the resistance early on is going to be in hot water.
Well, yeah, it's interesting with Glenn because I think that he probably benefits more than anybody else, except for maybe the siblings, by aligning with the veterans. I think that's where he's able to fit in somewhere because they are already a group and they're going to be looking for extra numbers.
I think it's interesting to note that, even if it does break, down like traditional kind of old school has played before versus haven't formats. I mean, that's still, even if you take the siblings, that's still a 10-6 split. So you're going to need two just to make a tie. It's doable. It's certainly doable. We've seen it in Big Brother 13, but it's not quite as cut and dry as, they definitely, the veterans / siblings, if it does go that way, certainly have some work to do. It's not going to be that simple.
The recruits that have only seen one or two seasons, if the returning players are from the BB16s and the BB17s of the world, a friendly face is here to save me, somebody to guide me because I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like that the recruits are going to really gravitate towards the returning players.
Well, it's a shame because they should have studied Keith Henderson.
Because Big Brother 13 was not on the list of seasons that the recruits were given, I don't suspect.
Imagine that.
All right. Rest in peace, Cocoa Puff says, I think Glenn and Bronte will become best friends. What do you think, Rob? Okay. I think that there will be a flirtmance between Glenn and Bronte that I think that that he will have to use his masculine charms to seduce Bronte into doing his bidding in the house.
Bold claim.
Yes. Yes.
Sounds like fan fiction, but I'm here for it.
Yeah. All right, Darius EXP, why was Tiffany so hesitant to answer some of the questions? And could she be less emotional and more improved than Vanessa? I mean, that was a turnoff for me.
Honestly, I thought, I'm sorry to interrupt you, I apologize. I just thought that she was really playing with Jeff there. I didn't really think it was awkward. I thought she was like sort of in on the joke, I know that's what you want and I'm not going to give it to you kind of
Matt,
thing.
I didn't really think she was any joking there at all.
I didn't get that sense. I really,
Vanessa's not really a big joker.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the card in the deck either.
Well, she's a little bit like the card in the deck, to be honest. But yeah, it really felt like she was either like misunderstanding or was just like really just didn't want to say just in case. And like if she was joking, it definitely didn't come across to Jeff because he was very confused and very concerned. He was like, "Oh, yes. Thank God, you know what I'm talking about," because I was really worried.
Alex, do you think that she was thrown off because that Audrey did not have Big Jeff do the pregame interviews for the second season of Sequester?
I'm sure that's what it is. Yeah, like I really do.
Did I get the name right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I think she. I really feel like she's already right, so in game mode. Ready, you know.
Are you single and ready to Google Hangout? No. No. Maybe he did do them. I don't know. It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, Tiffany, to me, she's just already in game mode. You know what I mean? Like, she went to the studio that day, like, already, like, she was going to play the game. And Jeff is going to have to be a bit more of a journalist if he wants to get something like that out of her. Sorry, Geraldo.
It's such a marathon. Neat. Sweet. It's such a marathon in the Big Brother. Like, if you are gaming that hard with Big Jeff, like, I just feel like you're going to burn out in the next 100 days. She did not.
She has
a motor. She has a motor,
Vanessa.
I can imagine it now. Yeah. Like, oh, Tiffany, hi. Yeah. Like, what do you do? I teach things. Oh, yeah. What kind of things do you teach? Some things, you know.
Oh my God! Don't worry about it. It's not that big a deal. It really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. It's not going to. How does it impact your life? I don't understand. Oh my God.
Yeah, and then I'd be like, "Hold on, Tiffany, are you Vanessa from last season's sister?
Are you calling me a liar?"
Yeah. Like, oh my God. Like, I just couldn't tell you because I care so much about you and because you're my friend. And I just felt like that you were going to be so mad at me. And I'm so happy that you started telling me what was going on. So, okay. So now we're going to be like, here we go. Night
Man,
one.
Any hope she had of playing
good
that
times,
off.
Good
I mean,
times,
any
bro.
Last shred went out the window when you found out about Paulie's rib tattoo that says Calafiore.
Oh, stop it. There was no way that.
Once you have the
just
one
like
sibling.
Willie Hanks was going to play it off.
Yeah,
if he
I know.
Russell's.
But, you know, at least
nobody
they didn't know Alyssa
that.
For like 2 days, which is crazy to me. So
Alyssa looks okay. Nothing like her sister.
She does to me.
I see it. All right. 9 days from now, Alex, when the Big Brother live feeds come out, is the first shot that we see Tiffany Russo crying about how she didn't know the game was going to be so mean?
I think that's a possibility, although I'm going to go ahead and put my money on Paul streaking.
Yeah, the boy. We gotta make big moves. All right. Wyatt Moyers wants to know. Each season, there's one tough alpha male who's the main candidate this season. Who is the one tough alpha male, Brent?
I don't know that we've seen him yet. I mean, I think it has to be. If you're looking at this cast, I think you have to say it's going to be Paulie. I mean, Paulie knows the game. He's, you know, his brother's already been through this before. You know, Cody's and Derek both have talked to him about a lot of stuff. I even saw Paulie hanging out with Robin Cass on Twitter.
He's working.
So
it.
I mean, he's not a newbie. He's going to know what he's doing in the house.
Like Cody, I think he's kind of like fine, just kind of playing the beta to somebody like Corey. Somebody like Corey
well,
who's going to
he can adapt. Whereas.
I don't see that.
Maybe.
He seems a little bit more hardcore.
I mean, if
hardcore.
He's anything like Cody, I don't think it's going to happen. If he is, if he's like you're saying, like a lot more intense, then maybe.
Well, I think it's a good point. I think Corey does strike me as the guy who, you know, he says he wants to win every competition. He's in there to compete and to play. Like, he is the alpha male that to me may not be as adaptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's a couple more questions. This is from Frickafer, who says, in the past, we've seen older contestants in the house struggle to blend in socially. Do you think the same fate awaits Glenn?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody disagree?
Whatever.
We've beaten him down.
I have to be the bad guy.
I'm like...
Dude. Okay. Ram 010992. No blondes in the cast? Which brunette will take over the stereotypical blonde character, and why is it Natalie?
I mean, I think, you know, Michelle is a little bit blonde. She's got a little bit of blonde in her hair. I mean, the only blonde besides her is Corey. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I love the fact that this cast does not look like white America. It looks like the real America. And kudos to the producers for casting some people who don't look like they were, you know, picked out of a Playgirl or Playboy magazine. Seriously.
Aaron Grease and Gina Marie are coming in as the returning players to balance it out.
TV bunnies.
That's exactly what they want. Yeah.
I think one of these girls actually isn't her last name.
That was a hoax.
No.
There's so much floating around.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I fell for it.
You know,
then.
Rob, I will say, much curse like, you know, someone you can maybe like pick that. Up a seashell and hear the ocean, I think maybe if you close your eyes and listen to Bronte, that you will hear Holly King.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's like Gina Marie.
Take your
Cody. Okay. John Clark says, Rob calls Glenn to be first out. Does this mean he'll probably win? Yeah, probably. On finale night, we'll be getting ready for Gen X, millennials, and a win from Glenn Garcia.
Yeah,
write the $500,000 check right now.
We've never seen this character win Big Brother. I don't expect it to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, we'll keep our fingers crossed. It'll be a fun summer if that's the case. Moose Girl, 1996. Who's your pick to flame out and overplay at the start? Anything else that we could say about the possibility of I mean, you know where my head is at.
Well, you were with Glenn or Natalie. I still think Natalie's going to be the one. I think they're always more threatened by a
but
strong girl than they are a strong man.
Do you really feel like that she's going to be
man,
a mover
so,
and a shaker in the house in terms of like starting alliances?
She wants to be, bless her heart.
She and, seems like that's what she wants. She wants to do it. Yeah, whether or not the situation is there for her to let her torpedo her own game, I don't know.
In the same way that Joey was a mover and shaker in the beginning of Big Brother 16.
Yeah. Is she Joey crossed with Abby Maria, Alex?
It's possible. I could see it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, if she would do nothing, she could be Peely, and that's, like, best case scenario, but I don't see that upside.
Peely upside.
I don't think she has it because she's going to try to do too much. Do less. Do less.
Major Gripex says, what are the chances we see the takeover twist return this year? Yeah, are you guys ready for a takeover? What? Takeover. What? Oh! Hey, you scrubs, it's Gina Marie and Aaron. We're here for the takeover.
Who's got my froyo?
Who's got my froyo?
No chance that's coming back. But you know, I was bummed that they took it away last year because Rob had so much fun with it on our show.
Okay. All right, and one last question. That's it. All right. Well, what fun we've had tonight getting started here with Big Brother 18. I'm so excited to get into all of this with you guys 1 week from tonight. I mean, I'm hoping that we get an announcement on the returning players, and then we'll come back and do some special coverage on that if we get that. Again, Big Brother 14. We did not get those names until premiere night. Does anybody have a feeling that we will get them beforehand?
It'll probably be officially when the premiere airs.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. This is, as we saw by the day of the release being switched from Monday to Tuesday, this is a very fluid situation here with the Big Brother 18, and away we go. Alex, when do they move into the house? Do you know?
You know, I'm not entirely sure about that. That's a very good question.
Sometime in the next couple
days. Yeah, it's got to be very soon, right? Because they get that, you know, that time to acclimate, as it were, you know, to adjust to their surroundings.
Yeah. All right. Of course, Big Brother live feeds are available with the CBS All Access app, which you can use to watch all of the Big Brother live feeds, plus plenty of other CBS programs, including the back catalog of Survivor, Big Brother, and The Amazing Race. It's $5.99 a month for the CBS All Access. You can also watch your local CBS streaming as well if you want to check that out. I know a lot of you guys already have it. From last season, from watching Survivor and other things, people have asked if we were doing the Big Brother live feed bingo. That it's a lot of work, the Big Brother live feed bingo. So we are going to not have live feed bingo going on this season. You know, if there's a big outpouring for it, we can try to set it up maybe for next year. But, you know, it's fun, but boy, that's a lot of work. So I'm just going to focus on trying to cover the show this season. So sounds like a plan. You can also click on the banner.
Sounds like a plan,
in the sidebar of robhaswebsite.com. I tried to wear a shirt with pink in it. I feel like that everybody, for some reason, it seemed like they tried to like really color code the season. From Big Jeff to like all the contestants. Brent, is there any reason why Big Brother would tell everybody to wear something pink today?
I don't know. Boy, I only really noticed it with Glenn and a few of the girls, but I just thought that was a little bit of happenstance.
I felt like more pink than everybody noticed, was wearing some version of a pink shirt.
Yeah, I guess Corey was, Akia was. And then
the couch was pink.
I don't know.
All of the all of the branding Bronte, for Big Brother 18 is like this same pink color. Big Jeff is wearing a pink shirt. So for whatever reason, that the color scheme this year really seems to be a lot of pinks mixed in with the traditional turquoise blue water of Big Brother. So I don't know what it all means.
Well, I guess
you sound like Vanessa right now, Rob.
Oh. Maybe that's what it is. It was the signal, the omen that Tiffany Rousseau will win Big Brother 18, as Alex and Taryn have predicted. All right. What's the hashtag tonight?
Single as a Pringle?
Single as a Pringle? Yeah. Devin Campbell. Slick bro picks. What do you want?
Slick bro picks.
All right.
What a tool.
I think, single as a Pringle.
Chat room wants Devin Campbell.
Chat room decides.
Okay, I'll go with whatever.
Okay.
I always forget to pick one.
What's the consent that Devin Campbell was a strong contender? But you know what? If you want to tweet us and write single as a Pringle, that we are very... we're very okay with that happening as well. All right. Let me give out the Twitter handles for everybody here today. And if you want to check it out, Alex is on Twitter. He is at Alex Kidwell. Brent is on Twitter. He is at One Lucky Gay. And also, Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. These guys, in addition to watching the live feeds, they are often tweeting about what is going on and very responsive on Twitter if you want to follow them for the live feed updates. If you are joining us for the first time, because maybe you found us since the last Big Brother season, we will do our podcast and talk about what happened through each episode of Big Brother. And then we will give you an alert, at which point we are going to talk about what's going on the live feeds. But the first half of the podcast will be spoiler-free, where we will not talk about what happened on the Big Brother live feeds. Also, I am at Rob Cesternino, and had some Big Brother-related Snapchatting that I did today on my Snapchat. Also, at Rob Cesternino. Had a lot of fun with the Big Brother cast this afternoon. Maybe too much time on my hands.
You, yes, everybody...
That was good stuff, Rob. For people who haven't watched Rob's,
I had a moment of inspiration.
Rob's Snapchat for today, get on it.
Nick Majorano was here this afternoon talking about his season of Survivor. So we're going to have that for you guys later on this week. Plus, we also did a very fun Survivor podcast about some of the tactics of negotiation, which can be used both on Survivor and off, which you can check out as well with Mike Botta. That's up on robinsonwebsite.com, plus News AF and much more. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robinsonwebsite.com/iTunes, or you can search for RHAP in your favorite podcatcher, or get the Robinson Podcast app. What do you guys have coming up with Jordan Parhar?
Yeah, I know we are doing the dumbest or worst moves ever in
Look
history.
Look for that somewhere down the pipe.
So that's something to look forward to.
Is that North American history or Big Brother U.S. history?
Oh, I think he wants to protect himself, so I think we're sticking to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to keep the U.S.
All right, thank you guys so much who joined us live. This was one of the biggest live show audiences I can remember in a while for Big Brother. So good stuff. Thank you guys who joined us live, and hope you guys who listened to the podcast version enjoyed it as well. We'll be back with much more coverage coming up this season. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel as well for those. Robinsonwebsite.com/YouTube. Have a great night, everybody. Take care.